This word Pentecost is interesting because its origin is not actually in Christianity. It's in Judaism. And like many things, as we're all learning, we have our origin as Christians in Judaism. And the word is Greek. It was spoken by Greek-speaking Jews, and it was Pentecoste, which simply meant 50th day. And see, their primary festival was at Passover, which was the day before we celebrate Easter, and their 50th day was what they called the Feast of Weeks. 7 times 7, 49 days after Passover, they would celebrate the Feast of Weeks. And on this Feast of Weeks, they would bring the first fruits of their harvest to God. Now, they didn't have dollars, and only if you were rich would you have gold coins or things like that. So for the most part, their gifts, their material possessions consisted in what they could harvest or the fruit they could pick. It consisted in goods that they could grow. And so they would bring those to the temple and give them to the priest to be offered on their behalf to God. We still carry on this same practice in church today, in our Christian faith, that we take a portion of what God has given us of material blessings, and then we bring them to our temple, which is this church, and we bring them to the priest to offer to God on our behalf and to distribute to the needs of the people of the church. But there's one idea in particular which we struggle with because of the demands that are put on us in this life, and that is giving God the first fruits. You see, when a Jewish person would harvest their grain from their field, they would actually bring the priest the first little bit of it and then go back and harvest the rest. Or after they'd harvest, they'd pick out the best looking bunch and bring it to the priest. Now, I'm not saying that because I want you to start bringing me a bunch of things that look really good. It wasn't for the priest. In fact, what he would end up doing oftentimes is burning that offering as an offering to God. So if you bring me something, I'm just going to burn it. So don't bring it. But it was this way in which, I mean, if you put yourself in their shoes, they're taking the best thing they have and bringing it to the priest so they could burn it. You see, guys, it was this idea that I am resigned to giving over to God the best of what I have. I'm not going to hold on to it as my own. The idea that God, it really brought in a very physical and material way the idea to the Jewish people that I'm totally reliant on God for even the best of the blessings I receive. An analogy would be like if you work today in our society and you get a bonus, right? That's the best because you weren't expecting it, or sometimes you're not expecting it. And let's say you get $200 and you're not expecting it all. What's the first thing that comes to mind to do with it? For many of us, probably today, you'd say, well, go out and buy a lottery ticket, right? Got to get that Powerball. Did anybody win last night? Do we know? No. Who cares? As long as they give part of it to the church, right? But a lot of times, I remember as a kid, if I'd get something special, even a gift of $20 or something, first thing I would think of is, what can I buy with it? But God needs us to rely on Him so much that when we receive things, the first thing we think of is Him. We are called to give the first and the best of what we have, not the last and the least. But God's blessings don't just come in material form. They also come in spiritual form. And these are maybe a little harder to see. I think especially in our Catholic faith here in America in 2013, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And I've shared with you in homilies past and in some of my articles in the bulletin, how many times I've experienced this in my own life, where you say a prayer to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge that you would not otherwise have, or the words that you need that you would not otherwise have. I can remember in particular a confirmation retreat that I was putting on with another seminarian near our seminary for a group of confirmation students from D.C. And a young woman that we were praying with, we were all seated in a circle and praying with her, and each person would kind of go around the circle and offer a prayer for that young woman as she was preparing for her confirmation. And I remember seeing in my mind's eye as it was coming up to me this passage from Isaiah. And I'd kind of dismissed it like, oh, you just had a memory that kind of came to your head. And, you know, we're supposed to be concentrating on praying this with this young woman, so you push it out. Well, then it comes again. And you say, well, no, I'm supposed to be praying. So you push it out. And then it comes again. And I say, okay, God, I get the point. So I open up the scripture. And I look up this passage from Isaiah, and it's the passage, some of you have read it or heard it before, about the dry bones, where Isaiah sees this field full of dry, dead bones, but sees God put flesh back up on them and put skin on them and basically resurrect right in front of him all these dead people. A beautiful and powerful image to Isaiah. And I was like, why on earth would I share this with a high school girl? She's going to be freaked out, right? But I just had this overwhelming sense and knew, because it had been so persistent, that this is from God and it should be shared. And so I shared it with her, and she began crying. I'm thinking, oh gosh, I probably disturbed her and, you know, frightened her forever. But after the prayer, she came up to me and she said, Father, when I was a kid, my dad would read me that passage to talk to me about the resurrection, and my dad died a couple years ago. And when you read that, it made me just so full of joy and a sense that God was with me as I'm coming to my confirmation and my dad can't be here. And I never would know that. In fact, my intuition was saying, you know, stay away from this. It sounds weird. But the Holy Spirit can move you in ways that you don't even understand sometimes if we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. I can imagine this cartoon. How many of you pray to the Father? Raise your hand. Pray to the Father? If you've ever said the Our Father, you've prayed to the Father, right? And how many of you pray to the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? Right? Especially when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you say a prayer, right? And how many of us pray regularly to the Holy Spirit? Oh, good, good. But a lot less, right? You can see this cartoon of God the Father is up in heaven. He's surrounded by a bank of phones, right? They're all lit up, ringing off the hook. He's got two of them to his ears already, and he's busy. You go over to the next desk, and you got Jesus Christ there with a whole bank of phones. They're all ringing off the hook. He's got two of them to his ears, and he's talking out of both sides of his mouth to two different people. And then you go to the next desk, and you have this little white bird sitting on the desk staring at a single phone. You see, we don't often ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask and you will be given gifts that are of a spiritual nature, that move you in a way that you're not quite used to. And brothers and sisters, it scares a lot of people. Many of you have had some exposure, good or bad, to the charismatic renewal. To these people who, you know, they put their hands all up in the air and they pray in tongues and things like this. Guys, that's part of our church. It doesn't mean everybody has to do it all the time, but if the Spirit moves you and if the Spirit prompts you, we should be asking and receiving spiritual gifts. This weekend we're celebrating graduation at Bishop Carroll. We've celebrated the promotion of our whopping 5 eighth graders the other day. And we celebrate the gifts, really, when we celebrate these kids' lives, we celebrate the gifts that God has given them. And we celebrate not just the gift that's given to them for their own sake, but guys, gifts are always given for the good of another person. God always gives gifts for the good of you and other people. I want to encourage you on this Pentecost Sunday to close your eyes for a moment. Please close your eyes. And I want you to think about two questions. What's one gift that God has given you or prompted you with or asked you to use, but you're not? What's one gift you have, but it kind of stays in your toolbox? And secondly, what is one gift that you would specifically like the Holy Spirit to give you so that you can bring other people to Jesus Christ? What's one gift that you would like to ask for?